Bibles tonight, turn to Matthew 17. Matthew chapter 17. Now, I want you to know I'm scared to death tonight. But I'm always scared to death when I get up and preach, so it's all right. But I appreciate Pastor Gillett asking me to preach tonight. And good to have some friends from Cleburne, the Shavers, and the Nix is here. Good to see you guys. And today is my wife's birthday. And if I did not mention that today was her birthday, I'm sure I would have heard it when I got home tonight. So, but you said, Brother Earl, what have you gotten your wife? Nothing yet. But I'm going to. I did not forget. I want you guys to know I did not forget her birthday, but I appreciate her and her just blessing to me and to our family. Matthew chapter 17. Let's look in verses number 1 all the way down to verse number 8. This is about the transfiguration of Jesus. And we're going to look here in Matthew chapter 17. We're also going to take time to take little parts of the same story of the transfiguration in Mark chapter 9 as well as in Luke chapter 9 to kind of bring everything together tonight. So we're going to start in Matthew chapter 17. If you look with me in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as a light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. And answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only." I believe this is one of the most precious passages in all of the Bible. Here, I believe that the Lord Jesus is giving his disciples a kind of a snapshot of what his coming kingdom is going to be like. And if you look backward into chapter 16, we see here where Jesus just told his disciples of some things that were going to happen. He tells them of his forcoming death and all of that. And then Jesus makes a very strange statement in the last verse of chapter 16 where he says this, "Which things shall they shall see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom." The very next verse that we see in chapter 17, verse number 1, is kind of a connecting verse. They use Matthew here uses the word "and" after 6 days, so there's really not a split here. The Bible writers just kind of wrote it to help it separate into chapters, but we see a continuation of chapter 16 going right in to chapter number 17. And here the Bible says, after 6 days, that Jesus takes Peter and he takes James and he takes John into a high mountain. Verse number 1 says this, "And Jesus was transfigured in their presence." Now, these 3 men, Peter, James, and John, were allowed to witness a little bit of what we're going to see a whole lot when we get to heaven. And they were given the honor that no one ever got over for the rest of their life. You see Peter writing about it. You see James writing about it. You see John writing about it later on as well. So these events are all connected to the glory of Jesus Christ. And can I say tonight that I am glad and I thank God today that I know who Jesus is. I'm glad that I don't have any trouble believing in His virgin birth. I don't have any trouble believing in His vicarious death. I don't have any trouble believing in His victorious resurrection. And I certainly don't have any trouble believing in His visible return one of these days. Amen? But tonight, I don't want to preach on the prophetic aspects of this portion of Scripture, this passage. I want us to draw attention to what Peter says in verse number 4. And I want you to look at it. I really like this. And tonight, this is the title of the message I want to preach tonight. And look at verse number 4. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, and here is the title of the message, Lord, it is good for us to be here. It is good for us to be here. Well, when I heard that, I was thinking, man, that, when I saw that, I went, oh, that's good. That's really good stuff. Because let me tell you something, I'm very glad to be here at Worth Baptist Church. And I'm saying, Lord, it's good for me to be here. But tonight, I want to talk to you for just a minute about, Lord, it's good for us to be here and talk about the Lord tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I need you tonight. Lord, use me in a great way. Lord, not to bring any honor and glory to myself, but to bring honor and glory to you. Because you're the only one that deserves our praise. And Lord, we want to lift up, God, we want to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ tonight for who He is and what He is to all of us. Bless us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. When Peter saw all that was happening around him, he didn't quite understand what was happening at the time. But can I say that Peter knew he was in a good place? You know, you and I go through times of our life, and we find ourselves in all kinds of places. Some are okay, some are not okay. Some of us have mountaintop experiences, some of us have valley experiences. You know what I mean. But can I say sometimes it's good for us to go through valley situations in our life. And we don't ever think about that when we're going through the valley, do we? Are you with me there? I mean, we're always thinking, Lord, hurry up, get me to a mountaintop. I need a mountaintop experience. But there are sometimes it's good for us to go through a valley. And it might be a time of physical pain. It may be a time of emotional trouble. It may be a time of financial turmoil or 10,000 other reasons or other kinds of trials. But we still may be in a good place. I want us to examine this passage tonight for just a few moments, and I want to show you how to recognize a good place. First of all, you know where you're in a good place when first you can behold His glory. You can behold His glory. Look down in verse number 1 and 2. We see, first of all, some special people. In verse number 1, we see that Jesus tells us, the Bible tells us that Jesus only took 3 men with Him, Peter, James, and John. We know these people as the Lord's kind of inner circle. These were the men that were the closest to the Lord, and these were the guys that were around the Lord a lot. We see at least 2 other times in the Bible where we see the Lord and Peter, James, and John together. First one is with the raising of Jairus' daughter. But we also see a time when Jesus was getting ready toward the time that He was going to go to the cross, and He takes Peter, James, and John and goes into the Garden of Gethsemane to do what? To pray. Of course, we know they fall asleep, don't we? But these were what is called the inner three. Now, let me say this. Granted, knowing that God is no respecter of persons, it says in Romans chapter 2 and verse number 11. It's also true that some people are closer to Him than they are others. It does not mean that God loves them anymore or than He does others, but it does mean that some people are more responsive to His love than what others are. Don't you know that? Some people are more responsive to your love than what other people are. in much the same way. There are a whole lot more people that will respond to God's love more than what other people will. And in reality, you are as close to God tonight as what you want to be. I'm as close to God tonight as what I want to be. And as you grow, I pray that all of us would use the verse in James chapter 4, verse 8, where it says, draw nigh to God and He will what? Draw nigh to you. And by the way, those who are open to all that God has for them are more likely to see Him move in glory and see Him move in power for those who but tend to stay farther away. My challenge to you tonight is stop hanging back and get close to the Lord. Quit hanging back and get as close to the Lord as what you can. And I want you also to notice in verse 1 that they called that a high mountain. Peter wrote it in 2 Peter chapter 1, and even Peter called it, and I like this, he called it a holy mountain. That wasn't just a high mountain to him, that was a holy mountain. And John even referred to this event later in the years in 1 John chapter 3. But can I say this, that Peter wanted to settle down and stay right there. I mean, did you read the post? Let's go back and read it again. Here they are. They're going to a high mountain, and another writer writes that they were going up to pray. And as they were going up to pray, all of a sudden Jesus is transfigured, and His face did shine as the sun, and His raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto Him Moses and Elijah talking to the Lord. I don't know about y'all, but that's pretty cool. I mean, that's pretty neat. I mean, and Peter, James, and John were able to see this. And Peter said, you know what? This is a good place to be. I think we ought to just stay here. In fact, he says that he was going to set up some tabernacles or set up a tent and stay there for a while. Have you ever had a day of your life that you just never wanted to end? I've had a few of those. Disney World was one of those. You know, I've had several of those days. I said, man, I just wish this day would never end. And you know what? That's exactly what Peter's saying. He said, listen, I wish that this day would never end. But after these events, they come down the mountain, and if we went ahead in this chapter, in chapter 17, we see where they go right back into the valley, and then the cares of this life begin to overcome them again. In fact, the Bible says they had to deal with a demonic spirit. Don't you feel like we have to deal with demonic spirits all the time? They're definitely around, aren't they? Perilous times shall come, and aren't we living in some perilous times today? Absolutely. And then it sees that they had to pay their taxes. Boy, aren't we not having to pay our taxes today? But Mark chapter 9, verse 10 tells us that these men, Peter, James, and John, carried these events from that mountain within their hearts. And here's the point I want to leave with you on this. If you really know the Lord, there's going to be some high mountaintop times with the Lord, and there's going to be some valley times with the Lord. But the experiences on the mountaintop will sustain you and sustain me through many long and difficult days of our life. The mountaintop experiences make the valleys a whole lot easier to go through. So we see some special people, and we see that special place, but we also see a special presentation. What happened? Well, verse 2 tells us that Jesus was transfigured. The word translated is the same word we use, that the English word metamorphosis. Now, I'm not trying to take you guys back to school, okay? But if you took biology class, you know exactly what metamorphosis means. Meta, very simply, means to change, and morph means form. So metamorphosis means is a change of form or a change of appearance. And this term is what is used for, what we use for a caterpillar changing to a butterfly. You know, the this ugly caterpillar encloses itself within a cocoon and goes through a metamorphosis, and it breaks out as a beautiful what? Butterfly. That thing that was ugly up until that moment reappears for its wonderful beauty. And in much the same way, this is exactly what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ on that mountaintop that day. Up until that time, that moment, he appeared to be just another Jew. Just another, what they called a prophet. Someone who just could do a lot of miracles, but they really didn't understand that who he was and what he came to do and the purpose of what he was going to do and the purpose of what he came to do. They didn't understand that. They just saw him as an average man. But we know that he wasn't just an average man, was he? On that mountain, that glory that was concealed inside his human body burst forth. And you see, this wasn't the first time that Jesus metamorphosized. He metamorphosized first when he changed and went from the thrones of heaven to a virgin called Mary to be born so that he could come and save us from our sins. Philippians 2, 5 through 8 says this, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. And being found in fashion as man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. On that mountaintop that day, the glory that was on the inside of Jesus broke forth and was visible the outside to Peter, to James, and John. So we see that we can behold his glory. But secondly, you're in a good place when you can behold his greatness. Look at verse number 3 again. Behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elias talking with him, and went and answered Peter and said unto him, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. First of all, we see some heavenly visitors here, don't we? You know, as I was studying this, as I went back to chapter 16 and realizing how these two passages of scriptures kind of connect, here is Jesus back in chapter 16, verse number 13, talking to his disciples. And you remember the story of where he asked Peter, hey, Peter, who does men say that I am? Peter came out and said, Lord, some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some say that you're Elias or Elijah. And others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets, but Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? And we know that Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What really made me think about that, just a few days later, Peter was going to be able to see Elijah there talking to Jesus. I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, here you are talking about Elijah. Hey, I'm going to show you Elijah. It's pretty neat. So we see some heavenly visitors. You know, Moses and Elijah. And the appearance of these two men is a marvelous, miraculous event. Marvelous miracle. Moses had been dead for over 1,500 years. But here he is. He's moving, he's talking, he's recognizable. Can I say that he's very much alive? And this just serves to remind us that the redeemed who died do not go to the grave to wait for the resurrection, but they pass on to glory to be with the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8 tells us this, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And then we also see Elijah. We know Elijah did not die, did he? But he was carried off into heaven on a chariot of fire. And he represents those saints of God who will one day be gathered up in the rapture and taken to glory. By the way, I can't wait for that. That's going to be a great event. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. But in Luke chapter 9, if you want to take your Bibles over this is something very interesting I want to show you. What were these two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to Jesus about? This is cool. Can I say cool? Is it cool to say cool? Okay, but it's cool. All right, thank you, Troy, for that. I appreciate that, man. But look in Luke chapter 9, verse 31, it tells us they were talking to Jesus about his decease. They were discussing about his upcoming death on the cross. Now, hold on. The word decease there literally means exodus or departure. Here, Moses, Elijah, and the Lord were talking about the Lord's departure. Thought that was kind of interesting. By the way, they were talking about how Jesus was going to exit or exodus out of this life. You see, Moses, don't miss this. Moses represented the law and Elijah represented the prophets. And the law and every sacrifice prescribed in it pointed ahead to Jesus, the perfect fulfillment of the law. The prophets spoke of one who was to come as a perfect sacrifice and a redeemer. Now, don't miss this. The bottom line here is that Moses and Elijah came, get this, to exalt the greatness of Jesus Christ. And to reveal to his disciples that he was who he claimed to be. That's exciting. So we see the heavenly visions, but we also see a heavenly voice. Looking back, when this happened, the Bible says in Mark chapter 9 that they heard a voice, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye Him." When this happens, the Bible says, this is neat too. The Bible says that Peter, James, and John were sleepy. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I had a trouble kind of understanding this. I mean, here's Jesus. Here's Moses and Elijah who died 1,500 years ago. And here they're speaking to Jesus. Jesus is like is exalted. His light is shining so light. And what are these guys? They're sleepy. I don't know about you, but I would not be sleeping. I mean, I would be so excited about what was going on and seeing this and went, oh, man, this is cool. Let's set up a tent. Let's stay here for a while. But the Bible said they were getting sleepy. I don't know, but the disciples got sleepy a lot, didn't they? Maybe that's why in the epistles it says, wake up to righteousness. You know, we need to wake up. We need to wake up. And here these three are, and as they woke up and saw what was going on, here's Peter. Peter, as usual, had to say something. Now, don't miss this. We know Peter. Peter had the same problem many of us have. Every time he opened his mouth, it was just to change feet. You know what I mean? And what does it say? They wist not what to say. And Peter ended up saying something. And can I say something that kind of goes along with that? That was good, wasn't it? There are times it's better to say nothing than to say something. And here was Peter opening his mouth to insert his other foot when he should have not said anything at all. His mouth was in motion before his brain got into gear. But when Peter does speak, he wants to build three tents on that mountain. He wants to build one for Jesus. He wants to build one for Elijah. He wants to build one for Moses. And on the surface, this seems absolutely fine, doesn't it? But it's clear that he's placing Jesus, and don't miss this, that he's placing Jesus on the same level as Moses and Elijah. And when God hears that, in fact, I notice what the scripture says. While he yet spake, it was like God was reading Peter what Peter was about to say. What happens? God reminds everybody on that mountain that Jesus is far greater than Moses and the law and Elijah and the prophets. That He is the fulfillment of both, and He alone is worthy of praise. He alone is worthy of glory, and He alone is worthy of worship. You know, when Jesus came out in His private years at His baptism, you remember God the Father speaking from heaven saying, "This is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And here at this portion of Scripture, we see the same thing. God the Father speaking out from heaven saying, "This is My beloved Son. Hear ye Him." And can I just add something here? This is speculation. This is the Earl Sides 1611 authorized version. But I wonder if there was one other time when Jesus took that blood that He shed for you and me and took that blood to the throne of God and gave it to God. And I wonder if God said one more time, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Just a thought. Just a thought. Who are you worshiping today? Who do you want to exalt? If it's anything but Jesus, then you need to change some things, and some changes need to be made in your life. However, you can come to the place in your life where you find yourself worshiping Jesus and finding ways to glorify Him. Then I can say this, you've arrived at a good place. If you've gotten to a place where you see things and you think things that need to be changed and you've put Jesus where He ought to be in your life, let me tell you something, you've arrived at a good place. It's all about Him and His glory. I pray that God would help us get caught up in His glory, that nothing else matters to us but Jesus. And then last, we know we're in a good place when we can behold His grace. Verse 6, we see the grace of His peace. When these three men heard the voice of God, realized the scope of what was happening on that mountain, they fell down on their face in fear before the Lord. Jesus, as His custom, and I want you to look in verse number 7, walked over to them, touched them, and said in verse number 7, I love this, "Arise, be not afraid." Friend, you're in a good place when you can feel the Master's touch. You're in a good place. Whether He touches you through the peace of your heart or whether you can hear that still, small voice, you're in a good place. Thank God for those times when His touch becomes real to us. I like Philippians 4:7 where it says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." 2 Corinthians 12:9 tells us, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness." But not only the grace of His peace, but also the grace of His presence. Look at verse number 8. "And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only." Hey, when the disciples looked up, they didn't see Moses. Are you with me? They didn't see Elijah. Who'd they see? They saw Jesus. They saw Jesus. Jesus was still there. Just as He had been before all of this excitement began, there was Jesus. For a short time, don't miss this, Jesus was lost in all the excitement. Now, He's the center of attention again. They had His presence, and after all they'd seen, I'm sure that He was even more precious to them than what He was before. But can I say that as we move through the valleys and move through the mountains in our life, regardless of what goes on, there's one constant we can always count on. Jesus said in Hebrews, I will never leave thee. And he says, I will never leave thee, and Jesus will never change. Can I say that you know that you're in a good place when Jesus comes by and lets you experience his presence? I'm sure that all of you can say that there have been times when you've experienced God's presence. Can I remind you of one just recently? I believe we experienced God's presence Sunday morning. 10 saved, 9 come into our church by membership. That's pretty remarkable. Talking to Pastor earlier today, he said there was just something about that service. He said from the very first song, I knew something was great going to happen. What a way to experience His presence. We need to be sure that we're ever in a place where we can sense His presence. And make sure that He is the centerpiece of our life. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What has your attention today? You know, Peter missed a few things along the way, but he got one thing right. They were in a good place. They were in a real good place. Let me ask you tonight, are you in a good place? You say, Brother, how can you tell if I'm in a good place? Are you in a good place when you can behold His glory? Are you in a good place when you can exalt His greatness? Are you in a good place when you can experience His grace? If you can answer yes to any and all those questions, yes, you're in a good place. But if you're missing out on even one of those, you're missing out on a great blessing. And I challenge you to get yourself to Jesus today and get the help you need to get in that good place today. Let's bow our heads as Brother Johnson comes. You may be lost tonight. If so, you can.